Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Jones! Bowden! He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. Sydney Cricket Ground has seen amazing scenes. And I suppose, actually, the simplest thing to say after that dramatic final day when England clung on, the last pair hanging on for those last 12 balls. And how many times have we seen this kind of thing in the Ashes as well over the history? But the best thing to say about it, Simon, is England are unbeaten in 2022.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, isn't it? A bizarre day in a way, because there are times during this day when England looked quite comfortable, actually. The pitch, it didn't play as many tricks as I think perhaps we feared it would do later in the game. And there was a period when Stokes and Root were batting together. You thought England are going to save this game, no trouble at all. And then Root got out, and then they sort of lost wickets at crucial times. Australia just chipped away, and ultimately England managed to just cling on. Jimmy Anderson going out there the last two overs, and your mind goes back to the Sri Lanka Test match in 2014, where he had to try and survive the final over at Headingley, and he was dismissed from the penultimate ball. I wonder whether that went through his head. But it was exciting, it was nail-biting, and it means that England have got four World Test Championship points. Hurrah for that. And also, they're not going to be whitewashed in the series. I mean, the bottom line is Australia have been dominant, and they dominated this game again. Of course they did. But for England, just something to take away. And I think Joe Root reflected that. You know, there was relief and, you know, a sense of pride, actually, in the fact that England did really compete with Australia in this Test match. And I don't think they have done so far in this series, not really in the first three games. They were just brushed aside. But in this game, at least they competed.
The beautiful thing about a scene like this is, well, the scene like that we've just seen, is that you've got two tail-end batsmen, the Trojans of England's bowling attack for the last 10, 15 years, Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson, one of whom actually is a decent batsman who's lost his mojo with the bat, pretty much, and the other who is, pretty much a genuine number 11. And they are expected, as basic batting novices, to fend off the bowling and save England's pride for 12 balls. You know, it's no other sport has, you know, posts or, you know, pitches the novice against the world-class operator in this way. And yet so much is at stake. And, you know, tail-end batting. And, you know, it's bad enough being not a very good batsman, knowing if you make one mistake, you're out. But knowing that if you make one mistake, the whole team's finished, that's the end of the match and you've lost, and there is that just little chink of hope that you can survive, it's just the worst feeling. And actually, as Joe Root said after the game, you know, it's even worse watching. You know, you actually want to be out there doing it rather than being in the dressing room where you're completely powerless. But, you know, tremendous credit to well, Jack Leach, Broad and Anderson, for all of those commitments that they show, dedication, that the stress that you go through experiencing that kind of demand, and the fact that they came out on top, you know, just speaks volumes for their character.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about Stuart Broad, of course, in the first innings, he was swishing and swiping and slogging. And we thought, well, how is he going to play? But actually, you know, he, because you've got the finishing line in sight when he came into bat, you know, you've got something to play for. And he actually really knuckled down and sort of played in the way that we came to associate with his batting sort of early on in his test match career. Of course, you know, he's not the player he was then because he's been through one or two problems. And, you know, I don't know, as time goes on, you probably concentrate more on your bowling than your batting. But you know, he really knuckled down to it and showed, you know, real stubbornness, a real fight. And there was just a little punch of the glove at the end. It was interesting. How, you know, how do you celebrate a 9-down draw when you're 3-0 down in the Ashes? You can't celebrate as Australia celebrated in 2005 at Old Trafford, or as England celebrated in 2009 at Cardiff. You just can't, because the series has gone. But there, I think that you can get a deep sense of satisfaction in just resisting, especially because this tour has gone so badly for them. And you know, you could say, well, does it really matter? I think, yes, it does. I mean, ultimately, it's going to be remembered as a very disappointed tour. But to show that fight on the last day, then, yeah, that there's something significant about that. You can take something. I think Joe Root, what did he say afterwards? It was a small step forward.
Yeah, it's more than that, actually. I mean, it what they've done is they've staved off total ignominy. You know, there are three England sides who've been whitewashed 5-0, and they are not now going to be a fourth. And it's a really important thing that, and actually also it's important that it's not the final test in a way, because firstly, they've shown that after three tests, they can still show some fight and commitment and dedication and ability. And also, it gives them the scope now to build on that for the final test and even maybe get a win. You know, there are bigger gaps than between the two sides than a draw suggests. But England, if they play better cricket, can compete more, you know, on parallel, more on level terms than they have shown in the first three test matches. We should pick out a few performances, individual performances. I watched very closely Zach Crawley's innings in the morning. Wow, you know, 70 odd off out of 90 he made. And he just looked totally at home playing against this quality of attack. And the key thing about that innings was that he, as in the first innings, he looked to be positive, but he chose the right balls to hit this time. It's all about decision making. He didn't try and drive the ball on the up. He didn't try and drive it if it was a bit wide or you know, slightly a little bit of extra bounce around off stump. He left the ball really well, but he also put away the shots that he plays well. The drive through mid on, the drive straight back past the bowler, some excellent pull shots. You know, he put the pressure back on the bowlers without playing, you know, reckless shots, and that was really impressive. And the timing and the composure, actually, both highly impressive.
Yeah, I mean, this was the Zach Crawley that sort of people were hoping to see, I think, in Australia. I mean, he came here with the England management feeling that his game was suited to playing in Australia. And I think today we saw that. I mean, one of the, you know, I mean, it's a big problem for all batters, isn't it? So if you can't keep out the good balls early on, then you're almost wasting your time. But he found a way to do that. He survived overnight, but he resumed on 22 not out. And the purity of his stroke play today, it was really something to behold. I mean, I think a lot of the Australian sort of pundits here are, you know, really impressed and say, yeah, this guy is a proper player, but he hasn't been able to show it, not for a long time. There was that innings in Ahmedabad in the third test match where he made 50 and then out, and he was stroking the ball, hitting the ball cleanly there, and he was able to recreate that today. It was hugely frustrating the way he was got out. Cameron Green bowling a very full ball, hitting him on the boot and trapping him LBW. He looked actually nailed on for 100. It was actually, think about it, it was the most fluent innings on either side in this series. There's been a lot of gritty batting in this series. You think of Labuschagne and Smith and Khawaja, but Crawley today hit it as well as any other batter in this series. And I think that's the sort of tantalising thing as far as England are concerned and Crawley's concerned. for the future. Can he reproduce that? We've seen it in that innings in Southampton, but he doesn't just want to focus on that. There needs to be a greater body of evidence, just that innings in Southampton. We saw it a little bit in Ahmedabad, but today, against this attack in a pressure situation, we saw much more of it. And I think, you know, if you think back to this day, yeah, England surviving nine down, but also one thing they can take out of it, I think, was Zach Crawley's innings today. And does that promise more for the future? Well, he obviously has to deliver now.
Yeah, no. And I guess what it says really is that, you know, there's clear ability there, but at times there's poor judgment in previous test matches. And just, I think to me, it amplifies the gap between domestic cricket and good test cricket, top test cricket, because he was naive a lot of times in the way he's got out in test matches, and he hasn't learnt to be really disciplined and make really good judgments in test cricket because of the sort of fairly average standard of county cricket. So Crawley, excellent. Ben Stokes and Johnny Bairstow, as you would expect, totally dedicated to the cause, staving off their injuries and defying Australia for a very long time. I would have certainly got out of the dressing room when Stokes arrived back in it, having just bunted Nathan Lyon back over mid-off. He then really got out rather tamely, actually, steering the ball to Steve Smith at first slip and was absolutely furious with himself. Bairstow, I mean, a tremendous test match for him. And that will just give him so much confidence that he's contributed and that England haven't lost as well. So he's contributed in a positive way to an outcome. And I mean, a bit unlucky that he got out, really. I mean, the sort of inside edge onto pad caught at the nearest, the silliest of silly points. So, you know, very unlucky sort of end for him. And I suppose the other one I just pick out, the other moment I pick out was that tremendous over by Pat Cummins, which was, you know, almost like as good as the Flintoff over in Edgbaston in 2005, where he dismissed both Langer and Ponting. And it was dramatic with the new ball, swinging the ball late, a brilliant delivery to Joss Butler, who'd, again, been nobly, courageously defiant for, you know, 45 minutes, even though he'd had a broken finger. And then that brilliant in-swinger to him. And then two balls later, an absolute, a whacker Eunice delivery to Mark Wood, late in swing, hit him on the toe. We talk about being whackered in county cricket when Whacker Eunice was in his pomp with those big swingers. And Mark Wood trapped LBW second ball, brilliant, opened the door, but somehow Leach, Broad and Anderson managed to keep the jaw from fully opening, which was tremendous.
Yeah, it was a great over by Cummins. I love Wood's reaction, actually, because he was persuaded by the non-striker at Bairstow to review it. And he, as the review process was going on, he looked up at the big screen, just saw the replay and just began to walk off. He didn't even bother for the technology because he knew he was out. So by the time that actually, you know, all came up, all the red lights, he was halfway back. He's a bowler. He knows when a batter was out at LBW. Yeah, I mean, Ben Stokes and Bairstow battling away with injuries, and Butler today. I mean, the news on them is that Butler is coming home. He's got a bad break on his left hand. So that's the end of Joss Butler's tour. So England will need a new wicketkeeper. Johnny Bairstow obviously has kept in the past, but he took a bang on the thumb, as we know, in this test match. That is going to be assessed. So they're going to go to Tasmania and see what it's like. About 5 days before the Hobart test match. And the same Ben Stokes, and this is a strange one really, because you think he was wincing throughout the game with his side strain. You'd think it'd be a huge risk to play him in Hobart, especially with the Ashes gone. You could sort of understand it, you know, if the Ashes was still alive, but to play him if the Ashes are gone, but you know what he's like, you know, you missed out last time, desperate to be here. But it might be one of those where, you know, when they get closer to the game, they have a look at the scans or whatever. They'll say, no, it's just not worth the risk. But he did play beautifully in this test match. He really did with the bat. And you're right, it was a soft dismissal, but a couple of half centuries for Ben Stokes. And back to sort of the fluent best, the sort of the quality of
batsmanship. Yeah, he found a flow, really, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's going to be hard to talk either Stokes or Bairstow out of playing in this test match, because in the next test match, I mean, because they found some flow and some confidence. And you don't want to sacrifice that. You don't want to then sit on the sidelines for however long, you know, a month or something, and let these injuries recover. You want to keep going while the, you know, the while you're in that kind of rhythm and confidence. So obviously it will depend how serious the injuries are. But if I was Johnny Bairstow, I'd be just strapping that thumb very tight to the rest of his hand. And obviously it's going to be slightly tricky fielding, but God, if I could, for him, I just think he's made such a big stride there that I would love it if he could somehow get through that final test. It would just be so good for his own and England's own sort of self-belief, really, to keep that number six spot for him.
Yeah, it's the first time in his 80-match test career that he's batted for more than 100 balls in both innings. So, you know, yeah, it's something of a breakthrough. And he really did guts it out in both innings. Brilliant 100 in the first innings. But, I mean, do you want to risk it with a really damaged finger in the field? I remember Hamid on his first tour to India damaging his finger. And they actually said, look, it's just not worth the risk. You shouldn't feel this. It's too risky. He wanted to stay and play on. So, that, you know, there's that, you know, something that's happened in the past. They're going to have to make that judgment call. And I don't know, I can't see Ben Stokes playing in Hobart. I can't see the points, but I can't see what they gain from it in terms of the long-term risk, the injury risk. But anyway, they're both going, whereas Butler is coming home. What do England do at the top of the order? What do they do with Hamid, do you think? Another single-figure score, so six single-figure scores in a row.
Well, actually, I thought Steve Harmison put it quite well on BT. He said he's dying in a hole when he's batting. And the trouble is he's just going nowhere. He's trying to stay in. I thought actually today that his defence was better. He was letting the ball come to him more rather than pushing out at it. Ironically, he was then out to a ball which he sort of almost allowed to hit the edge and just carried to the keeper. It was a goodish ball. Again, you know, you've got to survive those good balls as test openers. He just looks a bit too sort of static, really. And it's very difficult to know. I don't know what to say, really. I mean, maybe Rory Burns has done some remedial work. Perhaps it's worth bringing him back. I think the thing is he looks to score, you know, Rory Burns. He has got a funny method. If he could adapt his method a bit, adjust his method a bit, he's got the makings of being a pretty good test opener, because he's got the shots and he does keep the scoreboard moving. So if he's made some technical adjustments and feels confident, I think I would look to bring Burns back and open him with Crawley. Tell me just about, you know, you're still at the ground. You were in the commentary box during that sort of those final tense moments. What was that like? Because there wasn't many people in the crowd in a way, but the crowd obviously made quite a lot of noise. There was, you could hear the talking, the chatting round the bat as well, because all the fielders were within a yard of the batsman. So the stump mics were picking up the atmosphere on the field as well. So what was it like kind of being at the ground, being in the commentary box for those last few overs?
Yeah, well, I actually went out the commentary box and stood on the platform outside and listened to the crowd. They really, really were getting involved. It wasn't a huge crowd. Some parts of the ground were closed today, but those people who were here really got involved with it. And, you know, the atmosphere, that everyone was cheering as Steve Smith was bowling that last ball. And then there was that huge sort of anti-climax with Jimmy Anderson sort of blocking it out. What I would say is I don't think there was the same tension today as there would be if the Ashes were live. So, for example, if this were the first test, I mean, it really would have been a heart thumper, nail biter, because the Ashes would still be live, or second test or third test. The fact that the Ashes are gone, it didn't quite have that same, not from a sort of spectator point of view, I think, or commentator point of view. Okay, there are World Test Championship points on offer, and England have got four valuable points after, you know, really slim picking so far against India and Australia. So I think there was that thing. There was a sort of, it wasn't quite as intense as old Trafford back in 2005 or Cardiff in 2009. I think that's one thing you would say. But, you know, there's always drama when you get to the last over, last couple of overs of a test match, and the result is in doubt. You know, it's why we watch the game. It's why we're so beguiled by it, I think. But yeah, so it's sort of like bittersweet a bit. You think if only this had happened in Adelaide, for example, if only they'd been able to manage to block it out in Adelaide, although they were asked to do a bit too much in Adelaide on that final day.
The wonder of a five-test match, the wonder of a five-day test match, and all those people who claim that we should reduce it to four days. Who were those idiots who said, oh, we've got to have four-day tests? Oh, actually, it was me. Well, you know, I mean, it does add something so much when you can, when you haven't got the option, when you've got the option of three results, a win for either side or a draw. The draw sounds boring. The Americans all think, why would you play for 5 days and the match is a draw? But they just have no idea about the tension and the responsibility and the drama of such a situation like this.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is a weird one, though, when you draw the game 9-9, because you basically, England have been not totally outplayed in this game. Australia have controlled the match from very early on. So they have held the whip hand throughout the game, really. There was no serious prospect ever of England winning this game. So I think, you know, it is for England, is a small step. It's not a huge step, but they did show resilience. And, you know, obviously it's better to draw the game than lose it. But you could argue that it's perhaps just papering over the cracks a little bit of this tour. But I think the one thing England will take away from this game is just that fighting spirit. Graham Thorpe talked about it before the match. You know, this idea of, you know, getting out there and just showing some pride and, you know, fighting hard. And England did that both in the first innings and the second innings. You know, they counterattacked. Bairstow 100, Stokes runs, Wood attacking batsmanship in that first innings. And then, you know, the innings today of Crawley and Stokes and Bairstow, Leach showing great resilience. So yeah, there's definitely something to take out of the game. The bottom line is, Australia controlled the match and they were so close to winning it. And I mean, one thing you could look back on is Australia's declaration yesterday. Could they have got on with it a bit more? Could they have come out a bit earlier, give themselves a bit more time? And you say a five-day game, of course. One of the things about the five-day game is, yeah, I mean, these days we generally don't need 5 days, but if there's weather involved, and there was at this match, we lost overall around about 66 overs because of bad weather and to some extent slow over rate. So the players, you know, you can blame the players for that as well. So we had, you know, we had sort of 4 1/3 days test cricket. That was also significant in the outcome as well. But I wonder whether Australia will look back and say, you know, could we have got on with it a bit more yesterday? I mean, they were looking at Usman Khawaja's 100. Having said that, he got on with it. There were passages of play in that final session yesterday when you think, come on, you know, you just keep going. You might need these overs tomorrow, especially with the weather forecast, which suggested it was going to take some play out of the final day. As it happened, we only lost 7 overs, so England batted out 91 overs today. They weren't able to do it on a decent pitch of the Oval against India at the back end of last summer, but they were able to do it today, thanks to that staunch resistance right at the end. Superb from Leach and Broad and Jimmy Anderson. I mean, Anderson probably relieved he didn't have to face Stark or Cummins roaring in poor light. And it was the poor light actually that saved them in a way, because it meant they had to bowl Smith for a couple of overs. But Smith, if he had to choose one bowler to face probably right at the end there to bowl the last over, it would have been Steve Smith.
Especially the last ball, which was almost a double bouncer. It was so short, actually. So it was a slightly anticlimax, really, that last ball. But one little tiny other point. Of course, England came into this test match with three coaches in isolation in Melbourne, and so very much down on their support staff. So all the other members of the team and the squad and other support staff had to muck in. It just shows, you know, with some collective spirit and everybody kind of getting involved, and they've got a result, a decent outcome out of it. So maybe we don't need all those coaches and support staff. Maybe players can just get wheeled the dog thrower more often for each other, you know, which is what it always used to be like. Anyway, today we said yesterday who was going to be an Ashes hero. At the end of the day, the final day of Sydney, every England player was an Ashes hero today. They all tried their utmost and they got an excellent result out of it, which at least means that England now can't lose this series 5-0. And that's a tremendous achievement. It might even turn out that our predictions at the start, 3-1, come true.
Yeah. It did actually cross my mind in the closing overs there, you know, as England were battling away. If they saved the match, 3-0, both of us said at the start of the series, 3-1. I have to say, you'd still back Australia to win 4-0 if there is good, decent weather in Hobart. Day-night match, starting bizarrely at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so really late-night finishes. Might be quite cold down there in Hobart. Might be interesting to see what the pink ball does in those sort of conditions. Perhaps it does give England a chance, and England might have to completely refigure their side, their batting. They might reconfigure their bowling as well. But yeah, the 3-1 is still on, Jos.
Well, listen, we'll let you go because it's late and you've done a lot of work for everybody over the last few days. So go and have a nice couple of days rest and hopefully actually enjoy a bit of Hobart as well, Tasmania, because it's the first ever for an Ashes Test match played in Tasmania. An exciting prospect, actually, and great for the area of Tasmania too. So something to really look forward to. Well done to England. And well done, particularly to Jimmy and Brodie at the end there. It was a valiant effort. And we can at least drink our morning coffees with a bit more pride today. So well done to England. And we'll be back for every day of the Hobart Test match next week. Thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.